All right, I've got 6 o'clock. I'd like to call to order the October 27th, 2020 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Nakona, can I please have a roll call of the commissioners?
Sure. Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hurst?
Here.
Commissioner Hong? Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
We'll let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. If you all follow along with the Pledge of Allegiance with me before we get started, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us remotely again as we are still surviving the pandemic. Following our normal agenda items and maintain the regular flow of our meetings just within a different online format. So in order to participate, one must be logged onto Zoom, either directly by a computer or telephone. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I would like to provide a quick overview of how to participate. So due to a Zoom system change that was recent this month, all Zoom meetings will require a passcode, and the passcode is incorporated into the meeting link. So for anyone accessing through a computer or the Zoom app, you will automatically be directed and will not need to enter anything. But if anybody is calling in using their phone, you will have to enter the meeting ID and the passcode. And the passcode for today's meeting is 331480. That number again was 331480. All right. So throughout the meeting, everyone's microphone, other than myself, Mr. Joe Andrews from our legal department, and Mr. Michael Spaeth, our planning staff meeting hosts will be muted to ensure that this will be an efficient and smooth meeting. And I will do my best to let everyone know when there are opportunities to participate. I know with the second item, we have a public hearing, and we will also be having our call to the audience. So if you are interested in participating, if you are on any other platform than a phone or calling in by phone, if you select the participants icon or button at the bottom of your screen, it'll open up a dialog box. And at the bottom of that dialog box, there is a little button that says raise your hand. And then if you click on that, that will alert me that you have a question, and then I will get to those questions in the order of the hand being raised. But please wait until the specific agenda item has been announced before you raise your hand. And as with all commission meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. We will also be limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes, and a timer will be used as we do with our in-person meetings. And we ask that you respect the 3-minute limit. So at this time, I'd like to do our call to the audience. During this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona open meeting law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. If you wish to address the commission on a matter not on the agenda today, please notify us by clicking the raise your hand icon. If you are on your computer, or if you are dialing in by phone by pressing *9. And I will wait a few seconds to see if there are any raised hands.
Chair Gamble, while you're waiting for those raised hands, just like to recognize that Commissioner Hong has joined the meeting.
Oh, well, she had joined on time. Was that not reflected?
I'm sorry then, disregard. Apologize, all good.
I think her speaker was on mute when Gina called her. Sorry about that. All right, so I do not see any hands raised for the call to the audience. So I will close the call to the audience. And I would like to introduce Vice Mayor Barrett, our council member liaison, and turn some time over to her for our council liaison comment.
Yes, hi, thank you. It's good to see all of you this evening. I don't have a lot by way of council liaison comment, other than that October 31st, we had a public hearing on the possible Westward Look annexation. As you know, some of those things will be coming before the Planning and Zoning Commission pending moving forward, but we had the public hearing on just the annexation portion of that. And then upcoming on November 4th, we're looking at some of the same things that you're hearing tonight, the town and zone code amendments in response to potential approval of the Proposition 207 on recreational marijuana, as well as a study session on the apartment study that you're doing tonight. So we'll be reviewing those same things come November 4th. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. I appreciate that. All right, moving along, I will have Ms. Ancona read our first agenda item.
Review and approval of the October 13th, 2020 special session meeting minutes.
All right, commission members, could I get a motion for those?
I move that we approve the October 13th, 2020 special session meeting minutes.
All right, Commissioner Bergsma, will you second that?
Yes, I will.
All right, Ms. Ancona, can we please get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Oh, it looked like she said aye, but her speaker is muted.
Aye. Sorry, it just now flashed on the screen. Sorry.
It's okay, thank you. Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right, thank you. Will you please read out the second agenda item?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding zoning code text amendments to Section 23, Section 25, Chapter 31, and associated sections of the Oro Valley Zoning Code to regulate recreational marijuana in response to potential voter approval of Proposition 207.
All right, thank you. I will now turn the time over to staff planning member Mrs. Melini Sims for our staff presentation. Ms. Sims.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Gamble, commissioners. My name is Melini Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. And our purpose this evening is to discuss proposed zoning code amendments to regulate recreational marijuana. Next slide, please. So the proposed code amendments are in response to potential voter approval of Proposition 207, which is on the November 3rd election ballot, and if approved by the voters, will allow the sale, use, and cultivation or growing of recreational marijuana throughout the state. As discussed during the initiation last month, the timing of the proposed code amendments is crucial, as all regulations must be in place before the proposition goes into effect. Due to this, the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, an organization that provides information and resources to jurisdictions, alerted cities and provided guidance and recommendations to help them get the necessary requirements in place. In response, several jurisdictions, such as Sarita and Gilbert, are amending their codes using the model provided by the League of Arizona Cities. In Oro Valley, the town manager's office also took immediate action by creating a cross-departmental team. This team consists of the town's legal department, Oro Valley Police Department, and Planning Department, all of which are present this evening to answer any questions you may have. This joint effort and our purpose tonight is not whether we support the proposition, but more of a legal exercise to make sure the necessary requirements are in place to regulate recreational marijuana to the strictest extent allowed by the proposition, should it be passed by the voters. I will detail the specifics in my presentation, but per the proposition, the town cannot regulate recreational marijuana any stricter than we currently regulate medical marijuana. Ultimately, the proposed code amendments are necessary to not only regulate recreational marijuana, but apply the same standards to both types of marijuana uses. This item is being presented to the Commission for discussion and possible action this evening. Next slide, please. Again, the League of Arizona Cities alerted all jurisdictions to plan accordingly for potential voter approval of Prop 207, which is the first step in the process. The second step is to amend Chapter 8 of the Town Code to regulate the non-zoning related items of recreational marijuana use. These amendments are only considered by Town Council, but I will be providing a brief overview for the Commission as information only, as the focus of my presentation and our discussion tonight is on the third step, which are the proposed amendments to the zoning-related chapters of the code. As stated earlier, if approved, the proposed amendments must be in place before the proposition goes into effect to avoid potential conflicts with the takings law. The takings law prohibits a jurisdiction from adding regulations that may devalue a property. For instance, limiting the location or operations of a recreational marijuana use if it was already allowed. To meet this crucial timing demand, the code amendments in step 2 and step 3 will be considered by the Town Council concurrently and through an emergency declaration, which if approved means they go into immediate effect should the proposition pass. Next slide, please. So back to step 1. Proposition 207, if approved, authorizes the sale, use, cultivation, and more of recreational marijuana in the state of Arizona. Again, it is imperative for the town to amend the code accordingly to regulate recreational marijuana before the proposition goes into effect. The proposition includes provisions all jurisdictions must comply with to regulate recreational marijuana. Most relevant to the proposed zoning-related amendments, and to keep in mind as I go through the rest of my presentation, is the town cannot regulate recreational marijuana any stricter than we currently regulate medical marijuana. With this stated, the proposed code amendments regulate recreational marijuana to the strictest extent possible allowed by the proposition. Next slide, please. The second step in the process, again, is to amend Chapter 8 of the Town Code, and this is to regulate the non-zoning related items for recreational marijuana use. These items are enforced by the Oro Valley Police Department, Town Clerk, and Legal Departments, and are only considered by Town Council. But as information only, and just so the Commission is aware that these items are being addressed, the amendments to Chapter 8 include individual use requirements, such as age limits, and the amount of plants one can grow, as well as business aspects for recreational marijuana dispensaries. Of importance, and to reduce the proliferation of recreational marijuana dispensaries, a notable amendment is requiring all of them to be a dual licensee. This means a recreational marijuana dispensary can only operate in cooperation with a nonprofit medical marijuana dispensary in a shared space. Activities are also prohibited, such as facilities used to test marijuana potency or contamination, door-to-door delivery of marijuana, and the sale or use of marijuana on town properties like public parks. The amendments to Chapter A are in conformance with the proposition and also follow the model provided by the League of Arizona Cities, which again, several other jurisdictions such as Sarita and Gilbert also utilized. However, updating the zoning-related chapters is also necessary to further regulate recreational marijuana to the same standards currently applied to medical marijuana. Next slide, please. Step three is to amend the zoning-related chapters of the code. Unlike Chapter 8, these items are enforced by planning and inspectors. Again, this is our focus tonight as the commission is tasked with providing a recommendation to the council about these amendments. In a similar process, medical marijuana was added to the zoning code in 2010, right before it was approved by the voters. The zoning regulates the locations and other development standards such as building type and operations for this use. The purpose and timing of the proposed code amendments is so the town can apply the same standards currently applied to medical marijuana to recreational marijuana, which again is the strictest extent allowed by the proposition. Next slide, please. So the current standards applied to medical marijuana dispensaries include only allowing them within a larger commercial zoning district. These are our C1 and C2 zones. Also, that they have to be on properties that are at least 2,000 feet away from other marijuana establishments and at least 1,000 feet away from incompatible uses such as schools, childcare centers, or other facilities where kids may be enrolled, public parks, libraries, churches, and substance abuse treatment facilities. The map on the screen, which was also included in your packet, shows potential areas for marijuana uses. This map is not part of the code amendment, as it is likely to change when businesses such as home child care centers open and close within the town. But for the purposes of this presentation, the map shows the commercially zoned properties in red and pink, and incompatible uses are shown in blue with a 1,000-foot buffer around them, which is the purple-lined area. Currently, there are no medical marijuana establishments in the town, so there's none to include on the map. As shown, potential areas for marijuana uses are only the properties in red that do not touch the buffer area. For instance, the commercial areas on the corner of Lambert and LaToya Boulevard. Furthermore, the code requires a dispensary to be in a permanent building without a drive-thru. This means a trailer or mobile food truck cannot be used to sell marijuana. The code also restricts square footage for a dispensary and the area that can be used for product storage. It also requires all cultivation or growing of marijuana to occur indoors. Lastly, the code currently limits the business hours of a dispensary from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. and does not allow consumption of marijuana products on the premises nor selling of marijuana from a cultivation site. The proposed code amendments are not aiming to change any of these existing requirements. Rather, it is to apply these standards, again, currently applied to medical marijuana, to recreational marijuana. And this is because the proposition prohibits the town from applying stricter standards to recreational marijuana than we currently have applying to medical. So these standards are the strictest requirements the town can legally apply. Next slide, please. The proposed zoning-related amendments were reviewed for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan. By treating recreational marijuana to the same standards applied to medical marijuana, which again limits the location, building type, business hours, and activities, they meet several of the goals and policies shown on the screen related to public safety and also create an effective transition between differing land uses. Next slide, please. So in summary, if approved by the voters, Proposition 207 will authorize the sale, use, and cultivation of recreational marijuana throughout the state. The timing of the proposed code amendments is crucial to make sure all the requirements, if approved, are in place before the proposition goes into effect. Due to this, the League of Arizona Cities and Towns alerted jurisdictions and provided guidance and recommendations to assist cities in getting the necessary requirements in place. Several jurisdictions, like Sarita and Gilbert, are going through the same process we are doing tonight, using the model provided by the League. The proposed code amendments are a joint effort from the town's legal, police, and planning departments to regulate recreational marijuana to the strictest extent allowed by the proposition. This is done by applying the same standards currently applied to medical marijuana to recreational marijuana. Therefore, staff recommends approval of the proposed zoning-related amendments subject to the passage of Proposition 207. I, along with Mr. Andrews, the town's chief civil deputy attorney, who's representing the legal department, and Commander Olson from the Oro Valley Police Department, are all available this evening to answer any questions you may have. And this concludes my presentation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Sims. At this time, I'd like to open up questions for the staff for commissioners only. So if any of the commissioners have a question, if you could raise your hand and I will get to you. Commissioner Bergsma. Oh, or can you'll need to unmute yourself, I think.
All right, thank you, Chair Gamble. So two questions. First of all, when is the earliest Proposition 207 could go into effect if it passes? That's the first question.
Mr. Bergsma, it goes into effect as soon after the proposition passes, and then it actually has to be signed by the governor, but the governor has to sign it. So it's not long after it actually gets voted up and approved. It essentially depends on how long it takes for them to get all the ballots counted and decide if they have enough. And then within a week, the governor will then have a proclamation that it becomes law.
So it could be by early December, maybe?
No, it'll be way before that.
Okay.
It'll be by the second week in November.
Okay. So the second question is relating to the fact that the recreational marijuana sales would have to be in association with medical marijuana sales, and there are no medical marijuana sales establishments in Oro Valley at this time. So before they could be apply for a permit to operate, they would have to be approval of a permit for medical marijuana establishment. Is that correct?
Chair Gamble, Member Bergsma, something to that effect. They would have to find a way to get both licenses in place before they'd be able to open.
Could that happen at the same time, or would it have to be consecutive?
That would be through the state, and I'm not sure what their process is for approving them, if you have to do them in order or if you can do them in parallel.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Vice Chair Harrington.
Yes. My question is for staff, as I just recently dealt with a similar incident, such as we're talking about here now, with my 8-to-5 job normally, and reached out to ADEQ, which I think staff needs to check with first. And I was told directly that they had recently lost a lawsuit on an issue that we're talking about. And they referred me to that they couldn't do anything about it. It's about a grow house and medical marijuana, and they were growing. And what they told me to do is they can't do anything. They lost their lawsuit. And I don't want to say the ADEQ person, but they came out to the site. It was an older issue, and there's a pollen issue as well. And they told me that due to Pima County, prosecutor told them directly that they're not going to do anything, contact your local law enforcement. I did. Law enforcement told me if the Pima County prosecutor's not going to do anything about it, why should we? So they referred me to call DHS, and they told me that I need to contact county attorney. So they told me that the current law that's in place currently does not have teeth. So ADEQ told me that there's nothing they can do about the air quality, even though it's harmful to other businesses and residents in the area. So I want to make sure that staff is aware of that, and also see if staff will and our legal department check into that with far as the Pima County Prosecutor's Office. As I reached out to the police, the Sheriff's Department, as well as ADEQ and DHS, and this was a serious issue. They came out to the lake location and said it was an issue, but they could not do anything about it. And it is a serious issue, and the property in question is less than 2,000 square feet away from a drug facility, a drug rehab facility, that no one was notified that this location was, the marijuana place was going to be in that building. So I want to make sure the staff is aware of that and check with ADEQ and Pima County Prosecutor. I don't know if Oro Valley is going to do anything with that first legally, or can do anything legally, but the prosecutor, they told me the prosecutor pointed to the police. Police said they can't do anything if the prosecutor wasn't going to do anything. So that's my piece to it. And I just want to make sure staff is aware of that and can do something or check into that as we're looking at the law, as they told me that the current policies that's already written has no teeth to enforce it. And that's what I had to say.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Did staff want to respond to that? Just take notes.
No, thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. I don't have too much to add about the legal part of that, but I do want to let you know, and I didn't mention it in my presentation, that we also currently already require marijuana establishments to submit odor abatement plans. So we do try to, make sure things are in place. I know you're talking more about air quality, but for the smell of it, at least. And I don't know if Mr. Andrews has anything to add with regard to the legal side. Nope, doesn't look like it.
Chair Gamble, Vice Mayor Harrington, not knowing all of the circumstances, it sounds like somebody was growing in a grow house somewhere, and DEQ didn't want to do anything about it, and the Pima County attorney didn't want to do anything about it. Therefore, the officers, the police out there, probably sheriffs, didn't want to do anything about it. Understand, we have our own prosecution department, and we have our own police, and we act a lot differently. We are a different jurisdiction, and we would have to handle that situation if it were to come up. Understanding that if there is some kind of grow operation in town that's legal, it has to meet all of our code requirements and be in the proper zoning. Understanding too that under this, people are going to be allowed to grow a certain number of plants in their own home. But if it gets to be too much, then it becomes something where our prosecutors and our police will work together and see if there's something we can do about it. But it's not like it used to be. And this is one of those conundrums that everybody in the state will have to deal with in the event this passes. You can't go by there with a drug dog and have the dog alert and have that be enough for your warrant, because people are going to be allowed to have up to 12 plants if you have two adults over 21 in the house grown in your house. So it is going to be something we're going to have to deal with. But then again, there are ways, if it permeates beyond the bounds of the house, we can work on that. And we've had grow houses in the town that we've closed up in the past.
Chair Gamble, if I could just also chime in here. So keep in mind, as Ms. Sims indicated, there's two aspects to this proposed amendment, the town code portion and the zoning code portion. And I would say that some of what Vice Chair Harrington is referring to really falls more on the town code side, and how that prosecution plays a role in that. And what we're focused on here is specifically the zoning code related amendments that, again, give us the maximum amount of restriction as we currently have with medical marijuana. So I just wanted to remind Commissioner of that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, Commissioner Posey, let me unmute you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Gamble. You did say that there is law enforcement personnel available there for a question. Okay. I just like their professional opinion on this. I know they'll be responsible for the enforcement of this coding, the zoning code and text amendment. And I'd just like to know kind of like what, I mean, how do they, how what is their opinion of this? How do they feel about this text amendment?
All right. We have got Mr. Chris Olson from the Oro Valley PD.
Yes, I think that, good evening, Chairman Gamble and Commissioner Posey. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Commissioner Posey, that's an outstanding question. The police department obviously would love to be able to prohibit any recreational dispensary in the town of Oro Valley. There's a lot of literature and data out there, specifically through the Arizonans for Responsible Drug Policy Group, that talks about recreational marijuana use and how it will increase teen use, teen exposure, poly drug use. So now you have a combination of marijuana use with either alcohol or prescription drugs. Obviously, some areas in Colorado very specifically have seen increases in car crashes. And now what we are seeing are events of psychosis. One of the questions is always asked is that marijuana is not harmful. People have been smoking it for decades. The problem is that when you grow marijuana and you smoke it like people did in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, there's only a certain level of THC content that can be developed by growing it. When you commercialize it, you've now, through science, you've mastered the extraction process. And through concentrates such as gummy bears and brownies and all these other type of edibles, the commercial industry can create marijuana or THC to 99.9% levels. And the issue with that is that you've got young kids trying marijuana for the first time, either through an edible, be it a brownie or a gummy bear or a hard candy, and they're getting a level of concentrate that they just can't handle. So we're very much against Proposition 407, all the public safety groups, especially us in the town. And we would like not to see it. So we're very happy that we're able to work with you folks, as well as our legal and planning and zoning group, to make this as difficult as possible for people to grow, or I'm sorry, for people to open a dispensary within the town.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you both. I do kind of want to redirect the meeting back. We're getting a little bit off topic here. Really, this is about the zoning codes. The commission doesn't have the power to decide whether or not this is going to pass. It's all in the hands of the voters. What we need to do tonight is establish that we have some town code in place so the town can hit the ground running if this amendment passes. So if I could have people, if you have questions for that, to maybe just send town staff an email. But tonight we're just going to be focusing on the code portion and settling on that. So with that, I have Commissioner Sturman. I will unmute you.
Thank you, Chairman Gamble. I'm hoping that I comply with your immediate request. Could you bring up that map that designated the red zones?
Okay.
Okay, as I understand it, these are the potential places where these facilities could reside. Is that true?
Commissioner Sturman, that is correct. It is okay. The red areas that are also not touching any of that striped area. Okay.
Do we, with your conditional approval, do we have the ability to designate which site is priority 1, 2, 3 for them to locate? Or let's say that we would guide them through zoning, that there would be priority areas that they could do it. Could you help me with that?
Sure, Chair Storman. So we would want to treat everybody equally within the zoning districts. So that's the way we're guiding them, is guiding them to the C1 or C2, rather than if without it, they could technically go anywhere. So that is the guide that we're recommending, is to go to C1 or C2.
Yeah, because I was trying to respond to, you know, some serious concerns that was brought up, which, you know, the 207 is a reality. But I had thought through our a conditional approval process that at least we could designate certain red areas that you know, that would be preferred through the Oro Valley Justice System. So that's mainly what I'm trying to ask.
Sure. And Chair Sturman, the thing is too, is medical marijuana is already allowed in all of the areas. And so we can't then add a different restriction for recreational, making their locations less than what we already allow for medical.
Okay. All right.
And Chair Gamble, Member Sturman, there's another aspect too in zoning law. We cannot essentially make the same zoning apply differently to different properties. There's a clause out there called the uniformity clause, which essentially means you have to treat all uses within each zone the same. And that's outside of this law. So it's not, we can't say you can go to C1 at this corner, but not C1 at that corner. Then we run into problems with that uniformity clause as well. It is tricky, but I do believe that the town of Oro Valley has a pretty high hurdle to clear before somebody can get in here.
And I would agree with that. And if you look on this same slide, you know, not only does that criteria have to be met, but it also has to be 1,000 feet from schools, childcare centers. And I know even on this map, there's areas that should be circled that aren't. And I know this map isn't going in code permanently. For example, the Safeway Plaza has a tutoring center where children would be receiving tutoring, and they've, you know, that where that building is located close to where we used to have the recreational marijuana dispensary that went out of business and closed up. And then there's also the Artistry Academy of Music and Art, which is there. So I know that's not, so this is kind of just to give you an idea, there are definitely more areas and as businesses come and go, and it's a dynamic map that will be changing. But I really do think with the list that we have, with the 1,000 feet from, you know, schools, churches, public parks, libraries, substance abuse facilities, it does give Oro Valley a lot of protection. I don't really think there are a ton of areas where that is going to be. And I've heard that it's actually quite hard to get a license for medical marijuana from the state. They do, you have to apply, it's quite expensive, and I think they do like a lottery system, or that's what they were doing before. So sticking with what we've got on the code, I don't know, there's really not a lot we can add. Is that correct, Malini?
Chair Gamble, that is correct.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, I am going to unmute Commissioner Posey.
Okay, I think my question's already been answered, but, you know, I was just thinking 1,000 foot from children, schools, childcare centers is nothing. But But I totally understand it's, you know, really can't be changed. And I appreciate the input. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Commissioner Posey. I appreciate you mentioning that. I also had a problem with that, and I had spoken with several staff members on that. And at this point, I was disappointed to hear that the distance was unable to change, as well as the hours of operation, as Oro Valley does seem to have a wider hour of operation than Tucson. I had looked up a bunch of dispensaries in Tucson to see what their hours were, because I think 7 to 10 p.m. is quite a long time to be open, and everywhere else kind of seemed to be, you know, 8 p.m. was the latest closing, and then 7 p.m. was a fairly common close time for some of the other ones. So, you know, I was disappointed about those 2 points, and then I was also disappointed to hear about, well, I guess I do have one question for Mr. Olson in regards to the door-to-door delivery of marijuana. Is that something that the town can realistically enforce?
Chair Gamble, my understanding is that we have prohibited that, so there is no door-to-door delivery allowed within the town.
Right, but how do you enforce something like that? I don't think these companies are going to be driving around with big labels advertising what they've got in their cars.
That is a fair question. So there's two ways. One, if we tie it to a recreational dispensary, we would take a police report and refer it to the town clerk's office, as I would assume that would affect their business license. The other way would be through Arizona Revised Statutes, depending on the quantity, and even if that person is licensed to distribute, I guess, would be the question. So most of the distribution stuff would fall under the medical marijuana, because patient caregivers are allowed to do this. So it would be tricky. They'd have to have quite a bit of marijuana on them for us to look at Arizona Revised Statutes. But hopefully, if it's a violation of their permit, we would talk with the clerk.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that we have that in place, because I saw that and I was like, that seems like it might be hard to enforce, but this is good to hear.
It is going to be hard to enforce that regulation. It is going to be hard to enforce. There is no doubt, but we'll do our best. I promise.
Well, I do have every faith in the OVPD and their Facebook sleuths. All right. At this time, I don't see any other questions from commissioners, so I'd actually like to open the public hearing. If there is any,
Mr. Bergs had his hand up.
Oh, Commissioner Bergsma's hand is up. Yep.
My mouse was hanging over that. I did not see that. Mr. Bergsma. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. So I'm unclear on the process for approval. The state's involved. There's got to be a license issued, I guess, by the state. How does the process work for the town of Oro Valley? Is there a public hearing involved, or is it administrative approval? Could you walk me through the steps for the approval process?
Commissioner Bergsma, so a marijuana establishment, it depends on where they're going on the process. So if they're building a new building on a vacant property, and it's in an area that's already permitted, they would do what our current process is for all new developments. They would have a site plan for their building, and that would go through the public review process. If they are going into an existing building, they would follow our existing process for tenant improvements, and they would have to get either one. They have to get permits, and as part of the code currently stands, part of that permitting process is they do have to have all the licensing in place from the state, as well as show that they're in compliance with all the regulations for this type of use.
So there would not be a public hearing unless they were proposing a new structure, a new building.
And then, Commissioner Bergsma, it would be a public meeting. So similar to when we bring site plans to the commission, for a use that's already permitted, and you get, and we ask the commission to review the design, that would be a public meeting if they're building from the ground up on a vacant site.
Okay, but no public hearing.
Commissioner Bergsma, correct. Only if they were doing a rezoning or another discretionary ask from the commission.
Thank you.
All right, and it looks like we have another question from Commissioner Posey.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble, and I'm sorry, but I see this under the permanent buildings, limited storage area, and just wondering what limited means. Do you know, or does anybody know?
Sure, Commissioner Posey, so the storage area cannot exceed 400 square feet.
Thank you, okay, appreciate it.
All right, so I think any other commissioners have questions or comments right now? It doesn't look like it. So now I will open our public hearing. So if there is anybody from the public who would like to ask a question or has comments or concerns about this, please click on the participants icon at the bottom of the screen and raise your hand. Or if you are calling in from your phone, if you could press the *9 button, and that will alert us that you would like to make a comment. All right, I'm looking at our list, and it doesn't look like we have a lot of people from the public participating. Oh, but we do have one. Dave. You are unmuted. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I hope you can all hear me. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
Good. Dave Perry from the Oro Valley Chamber. I'm a resident of Oro Valley about 13 years, actually. And, you know, I don't have a strong opinion on this subject other than the fact that I appreciate staff and commission anticipating this possibility of business and how it might affect the community as well as existing businesses and institutions. And Chair Gamble, you raised the thing that I struggle with a little bit is the 1,000 feet from schools, which includes dramatic dancing or other similar establishments. And you know, when we had medical marijuana at the Safeway Plaza, they were within the same center as a tutoring facility and also as a dance facility there too. And, you know, I'm the last guy who wants to see marijuana in the hands of our children. I also understand that it can pose some dilemmas. You know, if somebody establishes one of these businesses in a shopping center, someone wants to build a school next door to it, does that have an impact on the licensure, for example? And I'm not trying to overcomplicate anything, but it is going to be a challenge, and as you pointed out, a dynamic challenge to see what businesses have come and gone and how the existence of a recreational marijuana dispensary might affect that particular shopping center. And, you know, I'm not advocating for medical or recreational marijuana, believe me, but when we did have medical marijuana at the Safeway Plaza, they were a member of our chamber, a highly successful business, I might add. The reason that they ended up closing here, I believe, was more of a licensure issue than it was a lack of demand. There was plenty of demand, but they did an exemplary job working with OVPD, Officer Olson, and everybody else, and they did things the right way. And I fully have faith in OVPD to do a good job with this complicated challenge that may be in front of all of us. So again, I just, without having any opinion either way, I just want to thank you for anticipating this subject and trying to take care of the community beforehand. Thank you for your time and for your service.
All right, thank you. Do we have any other members of the public who'd like to raise their hand? I'm not seeing any, so I will close the public hearing, and I would like to turn the discussion back over to the commission. So if any commissioners have a question, please raise your hand, and we can discuss that, and then I will ask for a motion. All right, I'm not seeing any commission members needing to discuss this any further. So at this time, I will ask for a motion. Vice Chair Harrington. There we go.
Move to recommend denial of proposed zoning code text amendment to Section 23, Section 25. In Chapter 31 of regulated recreational marijuana, based on the findings that it is federally illegal. And I think that moving forward with this before the vote, it only helps the vote. That's my motion.
Okay, will anyone second that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Ms. Ancona, can we please do a roll call vote? Mr. Vella?
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. I just really want to take a moment, and I apologize for the interruption midstream with an emotion. Something I loathe to do, but I think this is worth speaking up on. If this action ultimately, like by council, does not get approved, what that means is if the Prop 207 is adopted, we will not have any regulations locally to restrict marijuana use in terms of local ordinances. So the ramifications of this being denied are significant. So I ask you to take that into account. If we wait, after the vote, and time is spent after the vote to come back to this issue, we risk legal action from any group that's impacted relative to the county's action for imposing regulations after the adoption of Prop 207. So there are significant ramifications to both commission, council, and the town if this is denied. And I just want to make sure everyone's well aware of what denial actually translates into. It translates into no rules, no local rules in town of Moore Valley if this is approved. So I apologize if that comes across as a finger wag, but this is a serious issue and really want to make sure that everyone understands those ramifications. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so we will proceed with a roll call vote. Ms. Ancona?
Commissioner Bergsma?
No.
Vice Chair Harrington?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that was a yes. Sorry.
Yeah, aye. Vice Chair Harrington, is that an aye?
That was an aye, I'm sorry.
Okay. Commissioner Hurst?
No.
Commissioner Hong?
Yes, aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
No.
And Chair Gamble?
No.
So, Mr. Andrews, I'm sorry. So we have four nays. Does that mean this motion?
You said you had four A's, which means the motion to deny passes.
No. Four nays. I have four three ayes.
Three ayes and four nays? That means it fails 4-3.
Motion fails. Okay.
That also means now we need another motion because we have failed to deny.
Oh, you beat me to it, Joe. Or Mr. Andrews, I was just going to ask.
It's okay.
Mayor Gamble, I'd like to make motion.
All right. Commissioner Hurst.
I move to recommend approval of the proposed zoning code text amendments to Section 23 and Section 25 and Chapter 31 to regulate recreational marijuana subject to the passage of Proposition 207 on the November 3rd, 2020 election ballot.
All right, could I get a second for that?
Yes, I second the motion, Chair Gamble.
All right, Ms. Ancona, can we please do another roll call vote? Thank you.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
No.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
No. Can I say why?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I don't want anything provided to the voters that would indicate that we would be for this. And I understand that it has to be passed. If it does pass, I understand that, but I would rather wait till after the election. So my vote is no. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
So motion passes 5-2.
All right. Thank you. If we can move on to the next agenda item, Ms. Ancona.
Discussion only regarding a 2020 study on apartments that implements actions from the general plan and provides information to the governing body.
All right, thank you very much. I'm going to turn the time over to staff member Mr. Vella, as well as the town hired consultant Mrs. Smedley for this presentation. And this is not a general hearing, this is just for our knowledge to better educate us on what's going on with the apartment scene in Oro Valley. So with that, I turn the floor to you two.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gamble, Chair Gamble, and members of the commission. Really appreciate this opportunity, and you know, certainly consider this as ongoing efforts to provide both commission and town council information to assist with decision making. That's really what this is all about, this is purely a discussion item. Really wanted to express that, you know, our aim is really to meet two primary objectives. The first entails, with this study, that is, the first entails satisfying the town's compact, if you will, with the Oro Valley community to complete your voice, our future general plan action items. And the second objective is really to provide timely information for town decision makers like yourselves in advance of anticipated apartment-related development proposals. The study is really a step toward conducting an overall housing inventory, which is specified as an action item of the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. And a housing inventory really is about serving the broader general plan goal of providing a diversity of housing options for residents. I think, as most of you know, a true housing study provides an inventory of all housing types, which includes the broad range of both single family and multifamily. Apartments truly are just a sliver of what should be in a housing study. So this sliver or chapter of what should be a comprehensive housing study really is about trying to make sure that we're providing timely information, again, as we're seeing several applications for apartments coming down the pike. And staff really focused on this element because we're looking at currently a review of 5 different requests for new apartment communities, and there are at least 2 more that are anticipated. So our aim is to be timely, to provide timely information and helpful background information in anticipation of upcoming public reviews. Analyzing the current stock, quality, conditions, affordability, demographics, demand and supply of housing are standard elements of such studies. This apartment study goes a bit further. You know, over the past 10 to 20 years, similar perceptions and concerns with most, if not all, apartment proposals have been expressed at neighborhood meetings, letters from residents, or at public hearings. In fact, some were shared by residents as part of 3 current applications, and at neighborhood meetings, many of you attended. We did our best to group each into the form of questions to be addressed. Each warrants an objective answer for future decision-making and was made part of this study scope. As you know, we hired an independent consulting firm, the Real Estate Consulting Group. They were commissioned by the town to provide an objective study. Ms. Lucinda Smedley specializes in office, commercial, and housing market research, analysis, and projections. With over a decade of experience, Ms. Smedley was contracted to collect pertinent data to identify the demand and supply of apartments in Oro Valley and objectively address some of the common perceptions and concerns. Ultimately, and this is a point I want to make clear, how you choose to incorporate this information into your future decision-making is entirely up to each commissioner. I would like to respectfully encourage the commission to utilize this discussion and learning opportunity to the fullest. At the end of this, of Ms. Smedley's presentation, your observations, comments, and questions are most welcome. And without much further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Smedley. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the introduction and the opportunity to present the findings of the apartment study that we conducted earlier this year. So a little about us. As Bayer said, our company has been conducting housing market studies in Pima County since 2007. In addition, we published Trend Report, a monthly publication that highlights trends in commercial, residential, and multifamily development. Next slide, please. So the purpose of the study is to assist the town with implementing the voter-approved general plan, specifically as it relates to providing housing types that meet the needs of current and future residents and supporting the development of diverse housing types by creating a housing plan and zoning strategies to implement the plan. The study is designed to assist you in making decisions relating to the development of apartments in the town of Oro Valley. Next slide. Nationally and locally, apartments play a key role in a community. Your general plan recognizes that apartments are an important housing option within the town. Here are several reasons why apartments are important. They expand housing options to meet the needs of an economically and demographically diverse population and provide housing options for choice renters, people who rent by choice, and demographic groups who don't want the maintenance of owning a home, such as downsizing empty nesters. Across the country, as home prices continue to go up, jurisdictions are seeing an increased demand for more apartments. Closer to home, new apartments are being built across the state in Flagstaff, Sedona, Scottsdale, and Sierra Vista. Apartments support employment growth. New residents coming to the region for jobs will often rent for a year or two prior to buying a home. And so they also become an important part of the local economy as potential future home buyers. In that respect, apartments are like a gateway to your community for new residents. Apartments provide more compact housing and create higher density that contributes to the success of the town's commercial centers. And apartments help to support existing and future retail, such as restaurants and services, that make living in Oro Valley so attractive by creating a critical mass of people needing goods and services. Next slide, please. The scope of the study was to survey the town's apartment properties, analyze the data, and address reoccurring concerns raised by residents regarding apartments, as summarized in these six questions listed here. There is concern that the market for new apartments is minimal, that apartments deteriorate over time, that schools lack capacity for additional apartments, that apartments bring an increase in young and low-income tenants, and that apartments contribute to an increase in crime. Next slide, please. In order to answer these reoccurring questions, we did an extensive in-depth analysis of national and local data, which are listed here. In addition, we conducted interviews with town staff to collect relevant information for the study. There are a couple of limitations to the study that we wanted to point out. First, the demographic data pertains to all Oro Valley renters, not just apartment renters. Second, the study was conducted in February 2020, prior to the pandemic. While there was a lot of concern at the beginning of the pandemic about the negative impact it might have on apartments, it has turned out so far to have a very positive impact on apartments. Next slide, please. First question, what is the demand and supply of apartments? First, we will discuss the demand side. Pre-COVID, renter demand for apartments was strong due to job and population growth. Since May, however, demand for all types of housing in Oro Valley has increased significantly. This strong demand is attributed to solid job growth, but also the newly minted work-from-anywhere employees as a result of COVID-19. Across the region, home builders, realtors, and property managers are reporting an increase of home buyers and renters moving to Pima County from elsewhere. This increase is being seen in communities throughout Arizona. We can see the increase in demand in the current family housing permit data. When we looked at the housing data in February, Oro Valley had issued an average of 188 single family permits, home permits per year from 2010 to 2019. Year to date through September, 250 permits have been issued. That's about a 50% increase over last year. Oro Valley is on track to issue about 325 permits this year. Pre-COVID, we projected between 200 and 250 new households annually. With home permits over 300, the number of new households will clearly be higher than the projections. Strong apartment demand is also attributed to an increase in rentership. Since 2010, Pima County renter households have increased from 35.8% to 39.7%. Of note, in Oro Valley, renters make up 25% of households. and apartments provide an affordable alternative to home buying. The total monthly payment for an average-priced home sold in Oro Valley in 2019 was $2,180, whereas the average market rent for an apartment in Oro Valley was $1,123. That's a difference of over $1,000. Next slide, please. On the supply side, the supply is limited. There are currently about 3,000 apartment units within 12 properties. This slide lists the 12 apartment properties located in Oro Valley with the year built, the number of units, and their class, a nationally recognized grading system that is used to classify different apartment assets in terms of the quality of the properties. For the Oro Valley properties, the classifications are assigned by Real Data Inc. As you can see, the majority of the properties are classified as A properties, the highest quality. Next slide, please. We can better understand apartment demand when we look at how existing apartment properties are performing in terms of vacancy and average monthly rents. When demand is strong, vacancy rates are low and average rents go up. Currently, the average vacancy rate in Oro Valley is about 5%, which typically indicates full occupancy, allowing for tenants that are moving in and moving out. Average monthly rents have increased 29% since 2015. That's about a 7% increase per year. Much of these rent increases are attributed to the new properties coming online at higher rents, which then lifts the rents at the older properties. These strong demand indicators of low vacancy and increasing rents is supporting the financing and development of more apartment properties. Next slide, please. Regarding future supply, as the town is about 85% built out, there is a limited supply of land to build any type of housing. The bulk of remaining land is zoned for single-family homes. Of the limited amount of land zoned for apartments, most of it is actually too small to accommodate the type of apartments that are appropriate for Oro Valley. The town is currently processing 5 apartment proposals, with 2 more anticipated, listed on this slide. Due to the size of the remaining parcels, most will require rezoning. The 5 projects currently under review total about 1,000 units. This represents projects that will get built in the next 3 to 5 years. So about 200 to 300 units will be brought to market per year. This is in line with the number of units built recently. About 800 new apartment units were built between 2014 and 2016, and they were fully rented by 2018, indicating that about 200 new units were rented per year. No new units have been built in 2015 and 2020. This additional number of apartments will only slightly increase the share of apartments from 15% to 18% of all housing units over the next 5 years. The 2 planned projects total about 700 units, and their timing is about 5 to 7 years out. There is no expectation that they will come online at the same time. Next slide, please. So just to recap demand and supply, the strong population growth we are seeing is increasing demand, which is contributing to rising rents and low vacancy rates. And the limited supply of land for new apartment properties is leading to a very strong apartment market. Next slide, please. Second question, do apartments command lower rents over time due to deterioration? Real Data Inc., Apartment Insights, classifies every apartment property based on a variety of characteristics, including average monthly rents, location, age of property, and the quality of interior and exterior amenities and construction. As evidenced by the fact that the older properties in Oro Valley are classed As either A or B, the age of a property does not necessarily indicate a decline in quality or performance. Next slide, please. As we can see from the rents from 2015 to 2019, rents have increased from an average of 872 to 1123, even though about 800 new units came online during this period. The older properties built prior to 2000 have seen a 32% increase in rents during that same time period. Next slide, please. The next two slides address renter demographics. This includes renters of all housing types. The third question is, what are the ages and income of renters in comparison to homeowners? According to U.S. Census data, Oro Valley renters tend to be young professionals or empty nesters, with the 25 to 44 age groups accounting for 37% of renters, and the 55-plus age groups accounting for 42% of renters. Regarding income, renters in Oro Valley have a higher income, higher than average incomes compared to the region. Renter median household income is over $51,000, the same as the region's median household income of $51,000, which is renters and homeowners combined. These are your teachers, police officers, and administrative professionals. Next slide, please. Question four. Do local schools have the capacity for more apartments? Renter households actually have less of an impact on schools than owner households because the renter household size is typically smaller with fewer children. The average household size of renters in Oro Valley is 2.2 people versus homeowner households at 2.3 people. This is why apartment developers only build a limited number of three-bedroom units. As you can see from the pie chart to the right, only 10% of the units are three-bedroom units. As an aside, school capacity is verified with every rezoning application. Next slide, please. Question five. Do apartments significantly contribute to overall crime? This bar graph shows the percentage of apartment crime in green and Oro Valley crime as a whole in blue. According to Oro Valley crime data from 2015, on average, only 13% of all Part 1 crime, the more serious crime, was reported taking place in apartment properties. Next slide, please. The last question, is crime higher in apartment communities than single-family communities? When we looked at crime data at cityprotects.com, over a six-month period, less crime was reported in apartments than similar-sized single-family subdivisions. The data clearly contradicts the perception that crime is skyrocketing in apartments. Next slide, please. In conclusion, the perceptions and concerns regarding apartments are not supported by the data. The data indicates that demand for apartments is high and exceeding the supply. Existing supply is limited and performing very well. Property age does not indicate decline or deterioration. Renters have above average household incomes regionally. Renters impact school capacity less than owned homes. And apartment crime is proportional to single family crime. Thank you for the opportunity to present the findings of this study. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Thanks so much, Ms. Smedley. I'd now like to open the conversation up to the commissioners. So if any of you have any questions, please raise your hand. Commissioner Bergsma, you are unmuted.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I have a comment and a question. The comment is based on the information provided by Ms. Smedley. It sounds like we do have potentially an affordability issue in Oro Valley, in that the demand is exceeding the supply. My understanding is that once rents exceed 30% of area median income, then they are considered to be unaffordable. I think we're approaching that level in Oro Valley. And certainly the rate of increase in rents is higher than the rate of inflation in the Tucson area. So that indicates to me that we do need more apartments in this area, or at least more rental units. And I think you have to make a distinction because as Ms. Smedley noted, the data she had was for all rentals, not just apartment rentals. The question I have for Ms. Smedley is, you noted in your report that Oro Valley does have a significant number of retirees and snowbirds. I'm wondering what the impact of the snowbirds is on vacancy rates in Oro Valley, especially during winter season.
In terms of apartments, they are not typically doing leases that are shorter than 12 months. They don't need to do them at this point. So we see a lot of the snowbirds renting furnished homes, as an example. But I didn't really do a deep dive on the snowbird activity in the marketplace. I do know that when I looked at the data and that Real Data collects, the minimum that they're offering is a 6-month lease.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Commissioner Posey.
There we go. Yes. Thank you, Chair Gamble. Ms. Smedley, I have a question, please. I was curious as to what means did you use to determine the median household's income, referring to the $51,092 for apartment dwellers?
I believe the source for that data is listed on the slide.
Yeah.
That's U.S. Census data.
Is that 10 census or 20?
Well, 20 is not completed. So, yeah, that would be 10. And then, you know, every year that gets updated.
So so what you're doing is you're just projecting 10 years. Is that right?
That's done by the U.S. Census. Every year they update the data.
No, I mean, in your projection, you're projecting what it was in 2010 to what it would be today, 2020.
I am looking at what the census data is doing, and they are making, how do I explain this? Assessments every year, and they are the ones that are doing them. So this data is coming from the U.S. Census based on 2019 incomes, household income.
For apartment dwellers?
For renters, and the demographic data was relating to homeowners, renters, sorry. The renter demographic data was all renters in Oro Valley because the U.S. Census data specifies information between homeowners and renters. They don't specify the type of property that renters are renting.
Okay, so...
That makes sense? So these median incomes do not apply solely to apartment renters. It's all renters in Oro Valley.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. Commissioner Hurst.
Chair Gamble, thank you very much. I think this question is more for Ms. Smedley. But after having throughout my career sat through many a public meeting regarding the location of apartments, I've heard these very issues raised time and time again. But one subset of the crime issue that is generally not expressed but certainly implied is who are committing the crimes. For example, in a homeowner neighborhood, are the crimes being committed by the homeowners or by renters that come into the neighborhood? And obviously the perception is that gated communities will keep people out who are wishing to do evil in those neighborhoods. So the implication is that the homeowners are not committing crimes in the homeowner neighborhoods. And also the corollary to that is in rental apartment complexes or rental complexes, how many of the crimes are being committed by renters and how many crimes are being committed by homeowners? And I think the common perception is that in both these cases, renters commit more of the crimes than homeowners do. And I believe that that's the perception, and that's a subset of the more genteel how many crimes are being committed, because the community is really asking who is committing the crimes in the area. And I was wondering if there's any way to get at those kind of statistics.
Ms. Smedley, do you have the answer for that?
I don't really think that that's within my purview to answer, so.
Chair Gamble, if I may, Mr. Horetsky is also on the meeting tonight from the police department.
Oh, okay. All right, let me find him on my list and unmute. There we go. Mr. Horetsky?
Good evening, Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Hurst, for the question. That would take some reports we would have to run to figure out the victim versus the arrestee. That would take some time from staff. It's something that probably could be done. It would just be extremely time intensive.
And I would also assume that there are plenty of crimes committed of the nature that we're talking about here where there are no arrestees to have a report on. Burglaries, car break-ins, that sort of thing. They're not all solved cases.
So unsolved cases, so again, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hurst, while we have unsolved cases, my understanding, the document that was provided captured the crimes that were reported, not necessarily if an arrest was made or not. So it's based on part one crimes versus not necessarily if someone was arrested.
Okay.
And, Ms. Smedley, if you correct me on that data, if I'm incorrect.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Commissioner Hurst?
No, I don't. Thank you.
All right. I will unmute Commissioner Sturman.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. One of the items that I consider very important is the, because I know there was six items identified here, but one of the things I wanted to ask the planning staff primarily, when you start talking about concentration of density of people, what strain that we're going to be putting on the recreational facilities and the other recreational avenues for single families house, what strain is it going to be? Because it appears to me that a lot of the funds right now are being concentrated on three or four concentrated areas, but then we're going to have apartments where these people also will want to utilize these recreational facilities. Are we blending? Are we trying to analyze that type of situation of the concentration? Planning staff, please.
If I may, Chair Gamble, Member Sturman, I think it's important to note that when a new apartment complex comes through, they're required to provide a private recreation area, just like a residential subdivision is required to do so. Okay. So they are mandated to create a specific type of area with a count of different types of amenities, both active and passive recreation. So again, similar to a residential subdivision. Typically when apartments, providers will shoot for roughly a count of 300 units. And certainly that would be comparable to a large subdivision. So it is definitely more people concentrated in a specific area. But I think, you know, really the main point I want to make is that, again, they're required to do a specific rec area for their use. They're also assessed recreation impact fees. So those are monies that they, as part of the development, are required to put into a pot that the town holds specifically for townwide recreation improvements. So they contribute those monies in the same way, proportionally, in a proportional way that a single family residential subdivision would as well. So just like road impact fees, we have recreation impact fees as well.
I'd like to ask another question, Chairman Gamble. You know, it's admitted in the report that we're 85% built out. And the proposals that is forthcoming, and I think you mentioned 4 to 5, how much percentage is that going to take up with our built out capacity that we recognize now?
Chair Gamble, Member Sherman, that's a great question. So, you know, the remaining area in town, that roughly 15%, and it is purely an estimate, that represents a real mix. So within that 15%, you've got commercial, tech park zoning. Most of the remaining is single family zoning. And what I would call a very limited area of multifamily zoning. So what we anticipate is with most of the apartment proposals that will come forward, they're going to be asking for rezoning, converting from either single family zoning or commercial, in the case of the Ore Valley Marketplace, where they'd be asking for permission to put apartments within a commercial center. So it's really hard to estimate what that of that 15%, what that might be. But you know, I certainly would be glad to circle back with the commission and try to do a back of the napkin estimate, you know, assuming, and it's a big assumption, that you know, these proposals would get approved in the future.
May I ask another question, Chairman Gamble? In sight of that, what would transpire is that there must be priorities then. Is apartments a priority, or is it single family homes, or is it commercial? And it appears to me that this estimate of 15%, I think, is very valuable to us. And for us just to thrust something on the board because there is a demand. But I think this land is so valuable, and we need to consider a priority system here. And that's, I'm asking the staff. I mean, is that a valid concern? Mm.
Chair Gamble, Member Sherman, I think it's a very valid concern. So, you know, it's 15% means we need to decide more wisely than ever. So, yes, it's ultimately a core question of, you know, what the priorities are going forward. So, and the challenge too, Commissioner Sturman, is realizing that land uses are interrelated. So if your priority is to boost commercial retail, then apartments, rooftops are definitely part of that equation. You know, having more shoppers. So there's a symbiotic relationship between, you know, apartments, employment uses, as well as commercial. So, you know, it's not enough in my professional estimation to say, all right, here's this one land use, and that's where we need to spend the next 15%, because you also need supporting uses to make those work. So we've seen it time again in our community, commercial corners that don't have a tipping point of density to make those corners thrive. They're struggling, where we may have vacant land or vacant tenant spaces. That's just a reality. And you know, the struggle, and I think it's a good struggle the community has, is wanting to maintain the small town character, but also wanting to have services. So that dynamic has been going on since the foundation of the town. And so, but you're right. I mean, I applaud the thought that and concern that the remaining 15% really does matter.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Commissioner Hung.
Yeah, I think most of what I was about to say has been addressed, but I just wanted to, in case I missed it out, just wanted to kind of see if has there ever been a study done on, you know, cost and benefits of having renters in town. You know, obviously, if these renters bring in, you know, small kids, they will be enrolled in school, and, you know, perhaps the school district where we will have to, you know, lot some expenses for these children to be educated in our public school system. And also there were some concerns about the crimes that may be generated, having, you know, people, you know, living in a smaller, more dense, you know, area. So, you know, I just was wondering, maybe, you know, staff or the Ms. Smedley can, you know, have some studies done and have some data to maybe, you know what the cost and benefit, you know, what may be, if you have that sort of information, having the renters versus, you know, having the commercial development. Obviously, it needs to be supported by population, but, you know, that sort of thing.
If I may, Chair Gamble, Member Hahn, I do want to point out, you know, I think as Ms. Smedley shared, that the impact on schools for apartments is low, because the majority of the units are oriented toward folks that don't have kids. It's the smaller units that take up a greater proportion. So they have a lower impact than a single family residential subdivision on the school system. I think also, again, the crime stats that Ms. Smedley researched and presented show that over a 6-month period, there's less crime proportionately relative to a single family subdivision. So I think those are two important things to keep in mind. Apartments with more density certainly have impacts relative to traffic. And, you know, that is evaluated on a case-by-case basis through rezonings. And the developer as with single family residential subdivisions, must pay for road improvements associated with their development. So did we analyze specifically cost benefit? That wasn't within the parameters. But I think the two areas that I mentioned, schools and crime, were addressed. Not in a numerical way in terms of how many dollars do they cost the schools, but I mean, it's clear the trend, and I think, you know, Ms. Smedley's findings speak for themselves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Hong, did you have any other questions?
No, I think if that's the case, it looks like the cost, not cost, the benefit exceeds to me from just hearing and, you know, having it confirmed, you know, exceeds the cost of having the apartment dwellers in town who may also be interested in and, you know, possibly buying some of the homes that are available. And, you know, obviously with more people, there will be more commercial support. So I think it may be one of those win-win situations. That's just my personal opinion.
All right, great. Thank you. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. A couple of comments, and then maybe a pitch for something that I've been working on in another volunteer capacity. Regarding cost benefit and so on of having apartments, I think the benefit certainly does exceed the cost. As Ms. Manley noted, apartments are occupied generally by people that can't afford homes, at least at this point in their life, or maybe it's by choice. Certainly a lot of the people that live in apartments are people that are essential workers in our community, police officers, firemen, medical workers. Those people can't necessarily afford homes, but they can afford apartments. And so if they weren't able to afford a residence in Oro Valley, that means they would have to find someplace outside of the community and commute here on a daily basis, which would certainly add to the traffic that we see in this community. So I think that's another benefit of having apartments. It allows people to shorten their commute, basically. Another comment I have is in regard to a graphic in Ms. Smedley's presentation. I don't know if you can put that up on the screen or not, but that graphic showed what's called the transect or the range of housing types. We'll get there. The range of housing types that you'll see in a community ranging from, there we go, from single family detached homes all the way up to mid-rises. As Mr. Bella pointed out in his introductory remarks, what we're focused on is just a slice of these housing types. That would be, I guess, the sort of the multiplex kind of buildings. But there's a whole range of other kinds of housing units that generally we don't find in Oro Valley. We don't find generally in the Tucson area, although they might have been built in the past. And that's what's called middle housing. This is a term that was coined by a gentleman named Dan Perolik, who has the firm of Opticos Design in Berkeley, California. And there's an effort underway right now to actually allow for more of that kind of development in this area. I also volunteer for AARP Arizona on their Livable Communities initiatives, and I'm working with a group right now that's planning for a housing summit of looking at affordable housing for older adults in the Tucson area, including Oro Valley. That's something that's coming up at the end of January and early February, and we'll put more information out about that fairly soon. But one of the things that I'm working on as part of that effort is looking at impediments to allowing for duplexes and triplexes and fourplexes and courtyard apartments, as well as what's called accessory dwelling units, or some people call them granny flats, smaller units that might be in a backyard of a larger single family lot. So those are also typically or can be rental units. And they may be another answer to the question of where can we provide affordable housing in our communities. So something to think about when we talk about we're running out of land in Rural Valley for development. Maybe these are the kinds of units that would fit into areas that are already developed. For example, you might be able to put an accessory dwelling unit attached to or detached from a single-family residence on a larger lot in our subdivisions. And that's happening now, although those kinds of regulations are being allowed for those kinds of things in different parts of the country. Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, other communities are doing that now, and it's something I think that we need to start thinking about in this community as well, especially accessory dwelling units. In terms of this housing summit, we'll put information out about that fairly soon, and we'll make sure that all members of the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as the Town Council, are informed of that, which will be a virtual summit, and we'll have the opportunity to observe and participate in that process. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Okay, there, we got my screen back up again. Thank you. And I see that Ellen has another question. Did staff want to respond to any of that? Good.
No, thank you, Chair. Well, just to say, you know, express appreciation for Mr. Bergsma's work with, and we certainly absolutely intend on attending that conference. So thank you for bringing it up.
All right, great. Okay. Commissioner Hong?
Yes, I just would like to comment. Having been an apartment dweller in Oro Valley when I first moved in here a few years back, the rentals in this town are not very affordable. Actually, I was paying more than what I'm paying for my mortgage right now. There's very limited number of apartments, and you know, even if they are available, they're pretty expensive. So I just wanted to point out that apartments in Oro Valley, again, it's a special place, and you know, we have a very limited number of apartments available. So it is quite pricey, and that may be something that needs to be considered. You know, just what type of apartments are we going to make available, you know, and, you know, the quality of the building types and, you know, so forth. So just wanted to comment on that.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hong. I would also echo those sentiments that we don't have a lot of low price tagged apartments. It seems like everybody wants to come in and build, you know, a five-star apartment complex with all the amenities, or an A-class, I think is what you guys are referring it to. And I do think there probably is some need for a little diversity there. And that might be something we want to consider going forward, is, you know, having several options that are maybe a little bit more affordable as opposed to, because I, when I first moved here, I was a renter too. And the rents were high then too. So, you know, that's just something I would like to consider, just, you know, to make Oro Valley a little bit more accessible. I think that would be a wonderful option. All right, do we have any other comments or discussions from the commission? I'm not seeing any, and since this was just a discussion, we can end. I would like to thank the town and Ms. Smedley for the presentation and all the time that they've put into this. I know I've kind of, through the 2 years I've been doing this, have been wanting a study like this done. And I really appreciate all of the information that you've given us. And I think we're going to be able to make much better formed decisions with that information. So thank you so much for all of the time and effort that went into that. And I know that all of the commission members will, you know, use this information wisely as we go forward with the upcoming apartments that are in the pipeline. So thank you very much for that. And with that, I will ask for a motion to adjourn. I've got staff comments. I don't
Thank
have
you, that. Thank you, Chair. We have members of the commission.
Getting ahead of myself.
Not sure whose echo is on. For the planning update today, next month's commission meeting is scheduled for November 10th. It will be the second Tuesday of the month because obviously the first Tuesday is election day. So we won't be having our meeting that night. It'll be November 10th. And as of right now, we have one item tentatively scheduled on that agenda. That is the second public hearing for the first and Tangerine general plan amendment and rezoning that you heard the first public hearing earlier this month. We do have an upcoming neighborhood meeting on November 17th. The Church of the Nazarene over on Calle Concordia is proposing to rezone their property to a planned area development. So that will be the first of at least two neighborhood meetings that we'll have there. So we should have a informational video going up, I believe, on Friday. So take a look at that when that goes out and learn all about it before the meeting. So thank you, Chair. That concludes my update.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Spaeth. With that, I will ask a commission member for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. And can I get a second?
Second.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all so much. Have a great night, everyone.